Another first down for the Bucks out of the gun. Freeman fires. It is caught. Touchdown, Vincent Jackson.
Hey, yo, what's good, old school? What up with the Buck Podcast? It's your boy, E2, and you know we had to do it again, right? Let's go!
What the buck, podcast? I know you need this. The whole league mad cause we just got Revis. All the quarterbacks need to go find Jesus.
I bet they won't throw Hail Marys no more, get
so
it?
So where you gonna go to get your information? Studio 76, What the Buck Nation. If all of y'all feeling what the hell I'm saying, type in the chat, yo, we ain't playing. Shiano got a plan, Freeman got a plan, Jackson got a plan, Doug Martin is the man. The defense is back and the rookies are grown. Let me welcome everybody to the no fly zone.
Old school, always keeping it live. Got an email, Spence, tell them where to ride. Old school, always keeping it live. Got an email, Spence, tell them where we ride.
What the buck, dot, net, net, net. What the buck, dot, net, net. What the buck, dot, net, net. What the buck, what the buck, what the buck, what the buck.
Hey, yo, old school, man, I'm done, man. I'm wrapping it up. Go ahead and start the podcast, my dude. Peace.
All right, E2, welcome to the broadcast. Everyone out there that is not E2, I still do not have a way to do a simple fade. I think we're going to get to the bye week, and Kurt Creel and I are going to get back in the lab and figure out all this stuff so we can make this thing a little bit better and get you your call-ins that you guys like and that I like as well. I like having call-ins so you guys don't have to listen to me talk the entire time. I imagine that despite the fact that I apparently love the sound of my voice, it probably does get a little bit annoying. Welcome to the broadcast. I am Derek Oldschool Fournier. If you are new to the broadcast, we'll give shout-outs to the chat room here in a little while. We are going to be talking about the debacle in New York and what that means. Everything is going to be on the table. It's already started in the chat room. If you are not, you do have a call-in solution. Well, we can talk about it. I don't have one on my laptop, so I don't know how we can do it, my brother. So we can figure it out, though. Not obviously in the middle of this show, but we can figure it out. If only we had some phones or something. But regardless, everything is fair game this week. So I know for a fact I'm going to hear a lot of you saying that Josh Freeman is the single problem that faces the Buccaneers. You guys know for a fact that I think you're full of shit. We have debated this now for a year and a half. Some folks that I have a lot of respect for and I disagree on this, which is totally fine. And we can talk about it. We will clearly not come to any resolution. What's happened at this point, in my opinion, is that the Bucks fan base has done what fan bases do. And by the way, Shuck, lots of people do. Lots of people do. Not you necessarily, but lots of people do. I didn't mean to imply you did. But that being said, the fan base has become so pissed off that reason has flown out the window, in my opinion. So we will talk about all these things. Scott Reynolds' article on Greg Schiano was as pointed as I think I've ever seen Scott be. I think it was a hell of an article. I didn't care so much about the media relationship, but he is in the media, so that's something he would beef about. But the rest of the article was very stout. If you didn't read it, we linked it earlier this weekend. But first, I want to kick things off, remind you guys what's going on, get you guys up on the schedule, and we will absolutely talk about the whole thing. Hey, everyone shares blame. That's the thing about losses and wins, right? And when I coach, a win is a team win, a loss is a team loss. And, Gurr, I'm not really in the media. I'm an asshole that sits around the periphery of the media. Because I just give two shits what anyone fucking thinks, whether it's individuals or the organization. It doesn't mean anything to me. I'm going to tell you guys what I think. I'm going to back it up with what I think is evidence and data and my experience for whatever good that is. And then you guys can leverage it or not. And that's totally your call. I've had a good time with it and continue to have a good time with it. But I have to tell you, the current state of the Bucks fan base is absolutely challenging to me right now. But that's okay. That's the way it goes, and we're going to sit here and we're going to talk about it. I don't know if there are drink words tonight. I'm sure they've been put out there. But before we get going too far, I want to thank all of our sponsors because the sponsors are really and Rook, I agree. I'll go back to that, by the way. Good Christ. the tight end situation is just horrible. The best tight end we have is Cheyenne Valismus fighting the IASL of the Saturday night in Tampa because it is just terrible. So anyway, I want to thank Wing House Tampa. We were over there for our watch party. It was a good time. If you came out to watch with us, even though the game didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, I think everyone had a great time. The girls did a great job. Aaron did a great job. It was a great time, with the exception of the way the game ended. Whiskey Willie's, my man Wally across the street, he's going to be making up some coupons special and having those handed out at the tailgate, and we can get you to them if you're coming in from out of town. That way he can track and see his return on investment. So if you are listening to the show, you appreciate what he does, and you can get over to that side of town near the Wing House and Whiskey Willie's, get those coupons in there, let him know that you're over there because of What the Buck, because that's going to let him know he should still support us. Ybor City Chiropractic just came on board as well with Whiskey Willie's, Anywhere Transportation and Buccaneer Beads, Black Ops Flavor, which is featured prominently in the recipes this week, as well as Steakhouse Elite, who is also featured prominently in this week's menu that I'll go over briefly for Chef Red in our first tailgate versus the mighty New Orleans Saints. Now, I do want to make an announcement. Lucky Player Vodka and Crema Fina backed out. We had announced them as sponsors. They did not come through as sponsors. We will be putting that out on social media as well. I don't know why they decided to do that, but they did not go through with what they said they were going to do, and so they are not sponsoring us this year. I'm obviously a little disappointed in that. I thought it was going to be good, but it didn't work out. So we are no longer hitching our wagon to them. So for whatever that's worth, that's out there. A couple other things. Sandra P at Bucks Nation, Leo at the Pewter Plank, Pewter Report, Joe Bucks Fan. Those guys are doing a great job. And my man, Fred the Gurr. Rook, I have not heard on a sellout. I just read and did not realize this, that Jason Dial, the CMO for the Buccaneers, who had come over from Procter & Gamble, resigned. There seems to be a shakeup in the upper echelon there at One Buck Place. I didn't see that coming. I didn't know it had happened until I went back to read some of Joe Buck's fan stuff this weekend, and I saw that the announcements of the Greg Schiano show and another show didn't get out, and the marketing department is stumbling a little bit. And that happens when you lose your CMO, who allegedly resigned. So Jason's a good guy. He's always been good to me. So hopefully he finds a place to land. But to a couple of the comments in the chat room before I do a couple more announcements, Bishuk says, I think Shiano simply doesn't give two shits about the media and Scott can't stand it. I think you're right. Shiano doesn't give two shits about the media. If I were a media guy who got paid to do that and that was my livelihood, I would be annoyed with the things that Scott pointed out. You can deal with acerbic. You can deal with sort of guarded. You can deal with Bill Belichick if he's winning Super Bowls, right? But if you're a media guy, you have to be on that teat, and that's one of the advantages we have is we're not. I love the Bucks, and if the coach wants to talk, great. If he doesn't want to talk, great. We don't get player interviews anymore. We used to get them all the time. That is not an accident, right? So that sucks, but at the end of the day, I would rather us win and not talk than talk and lose, which is what the Raheem Morris era was about, sadly, or at least that's what it broke down to. Rook, I'm glad you noticed what I was talking about with Bynum. He is absolutely terrible. Our tight ends are terrible. Luke Stocker is terrible. I still am amazed. You guys know we gave Lorig a bunch of shit because it took him a while to become a fullback. But then he all of a sudden, and it wasn't all of a sudden, he became a fullback, right? And lo and behold, when he wasn't there and we were trying to insert tight end here, we couldn't run for shit. Now, it didn't help that our offensive line was just absolute fucking garbage this weekend, guys. Do not get it twisted. Do not be surprised. Do not be shocked. Do not doubt yourself. The offensive line from left to right was absolute garbage. I don't care that Donald Penn graded out well in Pro Football Focus. Everyone on the line played like dog shit. Now, we'll get into how badly they played and how badly the guards in particular played. I just got done watching the game again because I am just miserable. I saw that they brought back Larson. Thank you. Kurt's on the ball over there in the chat room. That's good stuff over there. He put the CMO link as well as the link for bringing I think it's Spencer Larson, right? Isn't that the guy's name? But they're going to bring another fullback in. They got to do something. Doug Martin, you can't put this on Doug Martin. He had nowhere to run. When he had a hole, he got through the hole. I can put it on Doug Martin that he dropped two passes that he should have caught in the flats. Now, I can't put it on Doug Martin that we still, to this day, have no fucking clue how to run a screen pass, whether it's an actual design screen pass to the back going out to the outside, whether it's a dump-off where you're setting up, letting the guys get upfield, whether it's a bubble screen to a wide receiver. We're absolutely terrible. Kellen Winslow looked like a guy who could catch the ball when he wasn't covered, guys. Let's stop jerking off about Kellen Winslow. He's exactly what he was here. If he's wide the fuck open, he catches the ball and falls down like a little girl. That's what he did. Our tight ends couldn't even do that. So is he better than what we have? Maybe. By looking at the way Luke Stocker blocked off the edge, shit, I'd rather have Dwight in there. you know? So, I mean, let's not get carried away with what Kellen Winslow did. Now, did he hurt us? Yeah, apparently we forgot he could catch. Sizzle, I didn't see a lot of tentativeness from Doug Martin. What I saw him doing was running into either a jet defender or the back of his own guy who got blown out of his gap. So that's trouble. Now, Rook's going to point out Ogletree. We'll talk about Ogletree. We're going to go into everyone's performance today because Ogletree was absolutely horrible. But, and K-Moto is almost on cue, is going to talk about the thing that I hate, that for the 8 years we've been doing this show, it seems as though I've always ended up here. All roads lead to this destination. The play calling is absolutely fucking garbage. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. And there were instances of it that were so obvious it was pathetic. I can't remember, it was third and 14 trillion yards. We had probably committed 6 penalties and gotten sacked and then fumbled the ball and had to fall on it. It was like watching the fucking 1976 Buccaneers out there sometime. But we're 3rd and 17, we flex a guy out, we end up with 5 receivers out in routes. 3 of them have routes that are 6 yards or shorter. 3. Absolutely horrible. The only route that we could consistently complete was a slant, which we forgot for an entire half a season 3 years ago. But Josh seemed to be able to complete that. He couldn't complete a back shoulder fade. The other route that we like to run, we like to motion Vincent Jackson and then run him on a little out. We missed it on the first drive, which is the play before the entire drive fell apart. We ran it a little bit later in the game, and it worked well. But short of that, we had absolutely fuck all on the offensive side of the ball. Now, that notwithstanding, and Rook, all due respect, but 9-man box and 78 yards for a TD. I mean, Doug had 65 yards in a TD. What do you want? Right? I mean, that's not the point. The point is you can't effectively run the ball like that. Now, they could do it because what's Ponder going to do? Well, that's what we're going to say now. What's Josh going to do? If we can't keep him prone for more than 1.5 to 2 seconds, he's not going to be successful. He can't miss open receivers like he did on Vincent Jackson over there. Right? But he didn't on Ogletree twice. Right, that's one of the things we'll talk about as we get through the show tonight. So, the underneath routes are just ridiculous, right? I don't know. V-Jax was killing the slot. I do want to know how V-Jax gets chased down from behind by a linebacker. I don't understand how that happens. He scores that touchdown, it's game over. And I remember a day when V-Jax was fast. I did also see V-Jax show me some alligator arms on one of the drives where Josh tried to hit him, I think it was, again, 3rd and 17, and he catches that ball, and it's first down. But he literally pulled his arms in. He did not want any of that. So, and that's not to jump on him because he had overall a good game. He put up the, he did not run. Bitch, if he ran out of air on that little ass fucking route, then he should not be in the league. Get out of here with that, Bucko Pack. Come on. Fucking linebacker chasing him down. It's ridiculous. So, but is the loss on him? No. The loss isn't on any one person. I think you guys said it best when I made the comment earlier that I felt some people were putting it all on Josh's shoulders, because that's what it certainly seems like. He got scared on that note. He didn't even drop it. He didn't even go for it. So, anyway, let's do a couple more announcements. We'll get into there. If you've got comments you want to make, throw them into the mailbox at questions@whatthebuck.net. You'll probably hear a little sound ding when they arrive. I'll make sure I cover them. Yep, he had 7 catches for 154 yards. I get it. He had good stats. That doesn't mean I'm not going to tear him apart too, because he makes that catch. It's a conversion on 3rd down. He runs like he's supposed to be a fucking X receiver. It's a touchdown. The game is over. He could have done more, right? Josh could have done more. Mike Williams could have done more. Offensive line sure as fuck could have done more. Tight ends could have shown up. So, all right, Dave, take care, brother. A couple of announcements. This Thursday night, we will not have a show because a number of us, Callie, I'll check in a second, brother. The linebacker runs a 4-4. Fuck off, Skip. For real? That's funny if it's true. V-Jack did not look like he was moving very fast, but it could have been all relative. But if that's true, that's good data. Anyway, Thursday night, the Ritz and Ybor starting 8 o'clock. The One Voice Foundation is having their fourth annual Forever Young Clown and Gowns event. Pediatric oncology families, mark your calendars. Please join the One Voice Foundation as our guests and celebrate Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. So the entire family, feel free to dress as clowns. Children's program will feature food, a cash bar, silent auction, games, and fun. Highlight of the evening will be our Clowns and Gowns Fashion Parade. It's great because the team there has allowed us to help out. Cheryl's been over there meeting with them. I'll be guest emceeing the event. It should be a great time. If you guys have nothing to do Thursday night, make sure you you come out there. Roman, are you serious right now? How the fuck does Mike James help? How could he have helped? By running into the back of his offensive line or running into the guys that were pounding through our offensive line? You can't possibly think that Mike James is as good or better than Doug Martin. You can't. It's impossible. I know you love the U, and I know that you had a great weekend, but fuck. Good Lord. Anyway, that's going to be a great event. We will be there, and it should be a good time. And then the thing that all of us should be thinking about, if we can get past the depression that is marking tonight, and by the way, I'm going to have to put some sort of a disclaimer because I've been cursing like a sailor, even more so than normal on this show. It's probably going to get worse before it gets better. Is our tailgate. Our first tailgate of the year. The New Orleans Saints are coming in town. You know, we always do a great job on this first tailgate. And knock on wood, we want good weather. We've got Jaded coming in, performing live. They were awesome last year. We're going to be set up. We've got some fancy stuff set up for you guys this year. Our sponsors are coming out there. We're going to have Wing House Girls. We are going to band people this year. A little bit of a change in our process because we had some kids out there that their parents weren't actually tracking them. Which is abysmal, but it happens. So the Wing House Girls, you're going to come in there. If you come into the tailgate, check in at the tent with the Wing House Girls and get a band. If you're over 21, you'll get one color. If you're under 21, you'll get another color. And that's all you got to do. The treasure chest will be there if you want to donate. That'll be terrific. And then the rest of it will be the same as always, except we're going to have lovely Wing House Girls there doing the bartending too. Chef Red's got a menu that's just out of this world. Steakhouse Elite is coming through with some great products. If you don't know who they are, it is Kobe beef. Sizzle, I don't think Pope is coming. I talked to him when we were in Orlando, and I don't think he's going to make the trip. But we'll drop him a note this week and see. I hope some of those guys make it out there. It should be a great time. Anyway, Steakhouse Elite, Black Ops, Cajun Meatballs. The recipe will be up, if not tonight, tomorrow. The recipe for that will be on the site. Cajun Shrimp Boil, Cajun Pork Loin, Pasta Etouffee, Red Beans and Rice, Cajun Baked Beans, Steakhouse Elite Hot Dogs, Black Ops Smoked Chicken, and Bourbon Salmon. This ain't your ordinary tailgate. In fact, and my man Kurt says he's got adult and virgin shots, we will not have hand grenades at this tailgate. They have changed and become far more aggressive with stopping people from having their drink. So that won't be there, but we will have other feature drinks. You need a band to know you're old. Yeah, I'm so old I have to remember that. No, the trick is we want the bartender to be able to know who's over 21. But with the last little note about the tailgate is I actually received a letter. And this is from Hans Steiger, who many of you may recall is from Quest for 31. We know Hans from a long time ago. He has started something called the Tailgating Hall of Fame. And I am proud to announce that the tailgate that we are all a part of has been inducted and is the Tampa Bay representative for Quest for 31's Tailgating Hall of Fame. I've got challenge coins for the core members there, and that's not any disservice to anyone else who's a member of this tailgate crew. But there was a fixed amount that I could do, so I'll drop you guys a note, and I'll get those to you this Sunday. But this is a website if you go to Tailgating Hall of Fame. We're not up there yet. I just got the letter in the mail. But we will be up there, so when people come into town, they'll know how to find us, which is really, really great. So thank you, Hans Steiger, and the Quest for 31 people, and so much for all of the work that you do to make this happen, because this is a team event, and it is absolutely scaring the dog shit out of me how big this is going to be Sunday, even coming off of a loss versus the Jets. Now, to Rook's question, were the personal fouls called legitimate, or is it the wussification of the NFL? Those are not mutually exclusive, in my opinion. I'll be sizzled. Mikhail is mine. You know that, baby. It's all good, though. Wussification of the NFL. I thought the calls were legitimate. because of the way the rules are. Do I have a problem with the calls? Not necessarily, because right now, in some sort of a team meeting, the receivers for New Orleans are going, fuck drag routes. I'm not going to run a post route. I want fades, and I want corners, because I don't want to see Deshaun Goldson. Because I watched the game actually almost 2.5 more times, which is pathetic. Deshaun Goldson's a beast. Deshaun Goldson is absolutely a beast. Now, our defense, I've been bitching about the offense because the offense I thought was just horrific. That being said, the offense gave us a lead with 38 seconds left in the game. This should feel familiar. This should feel familiar. This feels a lot like Washington and Philly. 38 seconds. We kick it away instead of squibbing it, which is interesting, but it happens. We give up a huge completion in the middle of the field, and then the impossible happens. Geno Smith gets outside. The late hit puts him in range, and game is over. It is absolutely brutal. Even talking about it is still brutal. So my little lead into this is at the end of the season, when we look back, So, I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to drift off, but I'm reading Ger the Fred's notes in the corner. Here's the problem I have and why I say it is wussification. It is that hard. He's saying Fred is essentially saying in the chat room for you podcast people that 6 inches lower isn't a problem. What's being done is there's essentially a hitting zone that's being created from shoulder to bottom of thigh, right? They haven't said that the knees are off limits at this point yet, but I guarantee you that is coming. Right, because as guys start going low and taking people out like Dustin Keller, the league is going to say, listen, we can't have people targeting knees. We just can't see it. Right, so you can target lower all you want, but if guys continue to duck in preparation for the hit, you're going to continue to have guys end up hitting helmet to helmet. Right, it's going to happen. Now, again, and this is the part where I'm not a particularly clean coach, it would appear. Right, I'm okay with that. I don't want to target headhunting at all. I don't want to try and be dirty. But I don't want to change the way Deshaun Goldson's playing football. Not at all. And it wasn't just him, guys. Adrian Claiborne was laying the wood out there. Mason Foster was laying the wood out there. Mark Barrett was. These guys were hitting. They were absolutely killing people out there. Now, I didn't like that I saw people cheering for injuries, personally. But everyone's got a right to do what they want to do. I find that to be classless, personally. But as a fan of the Buccaneers, that defense, by and large, was playing some damn good football and getting some pressure that we just didn't see in preseason, right? Levante had a hell of a game. It was a bad play at the end. It's a bad play at the end, but it's a hard play to do. And in fact, I went back and I was watching the game, the notes I took, when Geno Smith scrambled on the left-hand side, and then ended up turning up field and getting the first down, I believe the quote that John Lynch used was okey-doke. Yeah, he said Geno gave him a little okey-doke on the sideline because they were rushing over to him on the sideline. I forgot who was coming in to try and make the hit. He held up because it looked like he was going out, and he went upfield for another 4 yards, got the first down. This goes directly in line with my beef about the spread option and the way that the NFL handles quarterbacks. And I think that the only way to do it is to just hit him, right? Don't be dirty. I'm not saying to hit him out of bounds, and I don't think Levante David's play was dirty. Was it illegal? Yes, that doesn't make it dirty. Buck for Life, there are people that were cheering when people were getting taken off the field, and I just don't like that. That's just me. So, but I'm with Skip in this one in that you hit him. You hit the motherfucker. If you're going to run, and by the way, if you're going to run towards the sideline, you better get the fuck out of bounds because you're getting hit. I don't have a problem with those. I don't want them to be, no complaints about sacks. Yeah, they get the 5 sacks, and the defense was swarming, and it wasn't just that. Guys, go back and watch the tape, and I had someone, I forgot who it was in the chat room, who was talking about McCoy not getting the stats. Dude, McCoy was through that line like a freaking animal. Did he get all the stats? No. But you talk about causing disruption. Akeem Spence, too. In fact, deep in our line, they were getting some pressure. It wasn't just with crazy blitz and esoteric stunts. These guys were playing good football. So if there's something, you know, I start talking here about the highs and lows. And the highs for me were the defense played well. They hit hard. They created havoc. That's terrific. Now, Leo says there wouldn't have been a penalty if it were Chris Ivory. I don't know, man. Maybe there would have been. But I think that this is unique to the quarterback position. It's just like when we talked about RG3 when he was running the spread option. Mark Barron tackled him last year, and we get the penalty. It's just bullshit. The suplex should have been a no-call. Warren Sapp didn't get a call when he did to Marshall Faulk. I don't think there's anything in there that in the rule book anymore that says that that's illegal. Right? So now we know. If you get your hands on them, pick them up, slam them down. That's totally legal as long as you're not a quarterback. Right? As it sits, you hope that the team comes in ready to compete. You want to make a run. You think you've got the right groceries. You think you're going to be able to put it all together. You don't think you're going to have to do all sorts of bullshit. The offense isn't there, guys. It's just not even close. The offensive line looks absolutely offensive at this point. And until we get the trenches fixed, none of the rest of the shit makes any difference, guys, to me. Right? We can talk about Josh, Doug, receivers, tight ends. Doesn't make a hill of beans. If we can't run and we can't keep anyone standing up, it's a problem. But the defense may keep us in some shit. Now, Make the Block Hop is in the chat room, and he's saying what Scott Reynolds said, which is this is on Shiano. And you guys have heard me for years say, if it's not one person, if it's a lot of people that are the problem, if we're not ready, it's on the coach. This is on the coach. He can say that he didn't have a problem with what he did in the preseason, all you want. And we talked about it in the preseason because you're – and damned if you don't sometimes, right? Because if he plays those guys – right? If he plays those guys and they get injured, they get dinged up, and they can't go in the regular season, then you're like, why the fuck was this guy in there in the third quarter? Or why did he play so many snaps? He shouldn't have had to play those snaps. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. That being said, conventional wisdom is sometimes conventional wisdom for a reason. Because I saw Eli Manning and Peyton Manning and Tony Romo and Tom Brady taking a lot more snaps than Josh Freeman. And all of the guys around them taking those snaps too. Latest on Carl Nix, I haven't heard anything new other than his toe is still jacked and he's still working on the infection. Now, Gurr, the Fred here, is talking about the stunts. And to be honest, I agree, and we've talked about this for quite some time as well. Steve White has said it on the show before. When was Sapp called for body slamming Chester Taylor? He didn't get called for body slamming Marshall Faulk. Anyway, the stunts absolutely still look weird, but some of the stunts that freed up the linebackers were good, so I don't think we can just throw out the baby with the bathwater there. I definitely think that there's some bullshit going on with regards to some of that stuff. But, you know, that is what it is. How many coaches weren't ready? Asked Calico Jack. I don't know the answer to that question. I can tell you that I think our offense looked horrible. I can tell you that the head coach wasn't ready. I think that on the defensive side of the ball, things actually didn't look that bad. So, that's just my opinion. So the highs for me, and I'll check the mailbox in a second. I'll give you guys your shout-outs as well in the chat room. We've got a great chat room over there going great. For you folks that listen to the podcast, if you want to tune in live, we have a live chat room. You can interact with the show. It's a lot of fun. And the people in the chat room are quite often far more entertaining than I am. The highs were that the defense hit and created havoc, which is great. Created turnovers, which is even better. That is tremendous. It's something we haven't had. Like I mentioned, we can throw a slant route. Not much else. That goes to the lows. And our special teams don't suck, by the way. Mike Kanan, throwing darts, guys. Throwing darts with the punting. Right, good stuff. And we can actually tackle, and Eric Page looked pretty good, too. The lows, we can't block anyone. Passing or running, our offensive line is just fucking horrible. They've got to fix it. They absolutely have to fix. I can't say that enough. Our offense looks like a joke. An absolute joke. Let's go ahead and start the conversation about Josh Freeman and his helmet. I get it. Your helmet's not working. You've got audibles. You've got the ability to call plays at the line. Now, Shiano threw him right under the bus. Right? Absolutely threw him under the bus. When discussed. Because he's like, well, Josh can call his own plays. Now, what this means is either Josh is too stupid to call his own plays, which I don't happen to believe, or Josh is so afraid to call his own plays that he's not going to do it, which is what I think is more plausible. That being said, you're the goddamn quarterback. Call a play. Absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible. That series, guys, let's go back and relive that. Come walk with me down memory lane. You guys, you're familiar with this. He probably got a FedEx today. I didn't read about it, but he should have. He doesn't need a play card on his wrist, man. I mean, you can have play cards all you want, but at the very least, you've got a set of plays you can call when things break down, and the fact that that doesn't happen is just fucking ridiculous. So you guys are familiar with this. Let's see if you can actually read it again. You see my notes in the margin. Lot of blood. So we start out 7-yard completion, shitty run, 20-yard completion, pass to Vincent incomplete. That's the out. When they ran him, they put Vincent in motion, stop him in the slot. He runs a little square out. It was about, I don't know, it wasn't that far off, but Vince couldn't get to it. It was a bad pass. He was open. Should have been fine. But that started the problem. Delay a game. Sack when Luke Stocker doesn't even bother to touch anybody. False start. One of the shittiest screens I've ever seen to Doug Martin, who almost gets killed. Which, by the way, there was a penalty on that play, too, that was declined. Right? We had 25 fucking yards of penalties and 10 yards in sack yardage. Just horrible. Now, Kurt brings up a good point. This is interesting. In the chat room, guys, Kurt Creel just said, any QB I know would kill to have their headset go out. So, hopefully you guys understand why he's saying that. Quarterbacks would love to call their own plays. Confident quarterbacks would love to call their own plays. Josh is not a confident quarterback right now. Can he still get it done? Yes. That's what I'm talking about, Gurr, right? This comes down to confidence. You're the goddamn quarterback of the team until they bench you or cut you. And if I had to change one thing, you guys know I've been labeled as a Josh apologist. I like the kid. I think he's got all the tools in the world. I think most of the people that are talking shit about him don't understand the game as well as they think they do, right? And they're not watching it to the level they need to. And I'll say that without any fear of repercussion. I know that I disagree with a lot of very smart people. Many of them are in this very chat room. I mean, no disrespect personally, but I know how much I know about this game. That being said, you've got to take this game by the balls if you're the quarterback. And we saw Josh do that earlier in his career for fourth quarter comebacks, where they put the ball in his hand and let him do some work. The problem is, at some point, they stop letting you do it, and you have to just do it. You have to just do it. And he is not doing it. This is his contract year. If he doesn't step up, he will be playing somewhere else. Now, I happen to think he's going to go play somewhere else and make a lot of money and throw a lot of touchdown passes like he does here. I think a lot of people have forgotten what it's like to have a shitty quarterback, and I think that you keep wishing for Mike Glennon, and you're going to get reminded. That being said, if I had to attack one primary thing about Josh, it's that. He has got to take control of this fucking team. My high school quarterback had the ability to call audibles and would do it. It's the NFL, for God's sakes. Get your team fucking lined up. You've got your personnel grouping in there. You know your formations. Just ignore the goddamn sideline. Get the play done. Will, I am not putting the game on Josh. In the beginning, that was what I opened with. This is a team loss. If I had to pick one person to put this team, this game on, my coach, Schiano, is the one who has to wear this one. Do I think most of it should go to Sullivan? Yes. But you're the head coach. You should have had your team ready. This team was not ready. If you're going to pay that much fucking attention to defense, then you need someone to help you on offense. And you're right, Skip. He did the same thing in Dallas last year. Absolutely right. She has really instituted a culture of fear. One buck places forcing the players to choose between their instincts and their jobs. Did it with Blunt, doing it with Josh. So, now, Fred, you know I really enjoy you being here, and I do, and I think you're very bright. I think that that is one of those conjectures that people like to drop out there. I'm not in one buck place, are you? I'm not in one buck place. I can't say that he's instilling any sort of a culture. Right? I can tell you that when you have reached that level of football, the problem with a lot of college coaches, the problem with Steve Spurrier and these guys, is they think that they can just bully people around like it's college. And it's not. And as vets elevate their game and know that they are the commodity, they have to do their job. And sometimes that puts them in odd for the coach. But as far as him instituting it in one buck place, I just don't buy that. These players aren't job scared. Josh Freeman, I'll tell you this right now, guys. If you think Josh Freeman's afraid he's not going to get a contract, you are currently fucking high. If they cut him at the end of this year, he will be signed rapidly. Who else is afraid of the job? The starters on the Bucks. For years, I kept hearing, none of these guys could start for any other teams. Really? Vincent Jackson couldn't? Mike Williams couldn't? Doug Martin couldn't? Donald Penn, for everyone who hates Donald Penn, as bad as he played this week, Donald Penn goes gets another job in a day. The fuck out of here with that. All right, let's give some shout-outs. I wish I could make this screen bigger. We got Gur the Fred, Scott, B-Shuck, Will Hoyler, B-Sizzle, Buck Crazy, Kurt, Rook 01, Bucko Pat, Richard, Joseph, Buck for Life, Komodo, Dean, Spent, Cali Buck, Adam Buck, Buckhead, Dave Hudson, I thought he left, Skip Brown in the house, Pewter Pirate, Buck You Up, Chain, my man Captain Bones, Make the Block Hop, Bucktastic, 1201 DWR, Danny Coker, a real name, I'm not used to those, Buckman, Calico Jack, Leo TPP, Animal, Guest 12, and two viewers. Welcome to the show, guys. Mama Guest is in as a Spent, or Mama Spent is in as a guest as well. That's good to see. That's good to see. It's good to have you guys here. It's been a very negative broadcast so far, because there's not a lot to be positive about, to be quite honest. I'm going to check the mailbag. I'm going to check my phone because I got people blowing me up on the phone. See if you guys are doing that. It's not you guys, so we're all good. Arizona and Jacksonville are going to offer Josh a hefty contract this offseason if he hits the market. Possible. Quite possible. All right, let me check the mailbag, see if you guys have got anything in here real quick. And then I will start moving into Skulls and Swords. We'll do some more conversation. We're also going to talk a little bit about what's happening with New Orleans this week. We got Mandy Castillo. Hey, Mandy, how you doing? Some takes from week one. Pros. Defense doesn't only look good on paper. Revis is back. V-Jack looks in midseason form. The cons for Mandy were the offensive play calling, the O-line not looking as advertised, Zuda playing horribly. And Freeman looks like a deer in the headlights. You think the offensive scheme may be too much for him to grasp? I don't think it's too much for him to grasp. I think any of these guys in the NFL can grasp this scheme. I do think that this scheme is complicated, but that being said, we were fed a line of apparently bullshit in the offseason that everyone felt much more comfortable in this offense. They sure as hell don't look more comfortable in this offense. The route combinations that I bitched about the first year are just as bad this year, and that bothers me. And about that Chip Kelly offense before everyone starts running a batch in their shorts, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they score a bunch of points in the first half and then not score any points in the second half? I didn't watch the game that closely. I watched most of the first half in a meeting. Correct me if I'm wrong, chat room. You guys usually do. I know Cali will if he watched the game. I think it's interesting to watch. I definitely do. But as far as Adam Schefter's like new era NFL and all this. Man, get off his nuts. Washington almost came back. So Fred the Gurr is writing a lot of stuff in the chat room tonight, guys. That's good stuff. But if you guys want to cover other stuff, make sure you hit us up with questions at whatthebuck.net. We'll try and get it on there, and then we'll move over to Skulls and Swords. For those of you who are new, Skulls and Swords are sort of our MVP and bonehead of the game. Swords a good one. Skulls a bad one. So Fred the Gurr, here's what I think about some of the fans down on Josh. Seems to me that they're frustrated that he's not Aaron Rodgers, Breeze, Brady, or Peyton. Without accepting there's another 2017s without those quarterbacks, too. Right. Roman, Captain Bone says, if Josh is worth that money, why can't we trade him for a QB that would make a difference if he can't? Well, because you don't trade someone, you can't trade someone who people know that you're thinking of cutting. Not at that level. And who would you want to trade for, by the way? Who do you want? Who would you bring in? Calico says, if Dominic had given Freeman a reasonable contract already, Shannon doesn't catch this shit about Josh. That's an interesting assertion. They really did set themselves up into an awkward spot. Now, the Jets did the opposite. They gave Sanchez his contract early, and now they're locked into the guy to a certain degree. So they're sort of a petri dish in the opposite direction versus the Bucks, who played a wait and see. Totally killed their own pace in the second half to chew clock. I think they kept their foot down. It'd be different. Kelly chickened out. Yeah, I didn't watch the second half nearly as closely as the first. All I know is the results were very different. I'll go back and watch it because it was certainly fun to watch, right? But a new era of the NFL, I don't think so, personally. So I agree with Kimoto. If I'm Josh Freeman, and I'm not, I'm shorter than he is. If I'm Josh Freeman, I'm going to go play my game. And if they want to bench me, then bench me. Right? I'm going to know the offense. Danny Coker, my man. Teddy Bridgewater, next Bucks quarterback. There you go. There you have it. That's the answer. That is good stuff. Hey, Bridgewater looks good. Don't get it twisted. Right? But I just don't see why you want to get into that rotation. Everyone's still got a stiffy about rookie quarterbacks. So Jets beat the Bucks, so they did the QB. The Jets beat the Bucks, so they did the QB situation right? That is like a Twitter comment. That's funny. It took 42 minutes for T-Bag to be brought up. Yeah, Tebow sells some tickets to Jacksonville, no doubt. Oh, now skip. Now, see, that's good data. 53 plays in the first half, 24 in the second. Chip Warzone team out. So, and you know, I don't want to go down this route, but we should talk on a sidebar maybe at Wing House one night. We'll talk about it. There is a way to implement that offense, right? There really is, and you don't need to spend a lot of money on it. But you've got to have a lot of athletes. Did Stocker go out for a pass? I don't know. I don't remember. Stocker looked like garbage. Byron Leftwich, nice. Goodness. Oh, God. Bucko Patskus are talking about his Florida State QB that did nothing but throw to wide-open fucking receivers, and everyone's giving him a Heisman. Amazing. Josh needs to run like he used to before. This is a common refrain. There's a lot of common refrains with Josh. He needs to run more. He's inaccurate on short and intermediate passes. He doesn't care because he doesn't exhibit any sort of emotion. Those are all those things that people say. So you get a bit of a X's nose chubby yesterday with the Eagles rolled out in the H formation. I saw that. That was nice. Matt Leinart. Oh, fuck. Now you're just fucking with me, Roman. That hurts. All right. Let's go with some Skulls and Swords. Can you see Skip's comment? Where? Scrolling up. Yeah. I mentioned that. I think that the chat room is actually behind me on a pretty significant delay. But that's okay. Delays happen. Yep, I saw it. All right. Skulls and Swords. Let me hop over to the dealio here. What was this? I don't know why I bother reading personal mail while I'm on a show. I'm talking to you guys. I should not read any personal mail when that's happening. All right, let's take a look here on the What the Buck page. You guys put in your Skulls and Swords. We also had the What the Buck Were You Thinking segment. Tyler Thigpen, that's terrible. Oh, Leo. Leo's using some PFF data. He went out on 25 routes. It sure didn't look like it. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. All right. Let me get to the skulls and swords that I posted early like an asshole. Here it is. We had a lot of them. Holy shit, 65. That's, see, when people get pissed off, man, they post some stuff. That's true. Good stuff. All right. Let's see. We've got Dean Jackson, sword for Vincent Jackson, skull of the offensive coaching staff. Jerry Jordan, skull of the coaching staff for play calling. Sword to Josh Freeman for keeping it close as it was. Gurr, Samuel, not even a question. The skull has to go to Sullivan. Make no mistake, this loss was on him and not even close. Sword to Mason Foster and McCoy. I want to review the rules here, guys, because many of you guys have been here long enough to know the rules. It's one skull and it's one sword. That's it. They're people. You got to make a choice. Thanks, Rook, for that data. All right. Here we go. Melissa Phelps, skull, David, sword, Jackson. She got it right. Rebecca, skull, Mike, Sullivan, sword, Vincent, Jackson. We got Rodney saying Levante David, calling him a dumbass. This is Levante David's going to get a lot of hate despite playing a hell of a game. Don Quartermas, sword, Jackson, skull, David. Two skulls to the referee, says Hines, which is funny, which is why I read it. Mega Dave Pratt, that's a comment back. Mason Foster gets his sword. Skull goes to Levante David. My man Reekin is in the house. Skull to Penn, sword to Revis. Kimberly Pewtergal, Jackson gets a sword. David gets a skull. I'm not going to read all 65 of these guys. Sorry. That's a lot of them. We should put a matrix in here. Let's see here. We got a comment over here in the chat room. We got Kurt Buckshot Creel saying skull to Josh, a sword to Kanan. Cleo Lemon for the Bucks. You guys are fucking horrible. Foster gave up at least 3 first downs in coverage. You know, that's funny because it's true. And by saying it's funny, I say it's sad. Because he looked great against the run. He looked great in pass rush. But he is absolutely a liability in coverage like we've talked about before. That's trouble. Buck Tassi, do you think Freeman gets a new deal before the end of the season? Not playing like he did this week. Despite the fact that I don't think a lot of that was on him, you can't have that be the result. Go be the quarterback. Take over the game. I don't have a problem with his completion ratio. He had some drops. But I agree with Crazy. It's way too early to tell. Bucko Pat, skull to Zuda. Sword to V-Jack. Dean, sorry for the lack of interaction. I have to wait for the podcast. I trust and believe at the end of this day, Coach has to give an account for what is produced. Hey, thanks, Dean. I appreciate that, man. Thanks for coming out. And we'll definitely get the podcast posted as soon as we can right after the broadcast. Now, who did I put in here? Originally, before the game, we had our predictive MVPs. I had gone safe and sound and went with Doug Martin and Gerald McCoy. Fuck, I don't know what Doug could have done to other than not drop those passes. That would have helped. But, I mean, there was nowhere for him to run, so he was definitely not the MVP. Defensively, I think Gerald McCoy played his ass off. Skip Brown says a sword for Spence, a skull to Freeman. Buck for Life brings up a good point with regards to Josh Freeman, and we talked about this in the offseason. Right, let's say that he balls out. He goes out, throws for, you know, 4,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, something like that. Bucks make it to the playoffs, whatever. They still may franchise him. They franchise him, they're going to spend $17 million or so. So this is exactly what we discussed. Whether he's what you think he is and not good, or whether he is a superstar, you have to determine if you want to lock up $100 million in a quarterback. That's the question. Is it worth it? That is the question. Calico, I totally disagree. I agree that was the risk, but that quarterback was running out of bounds to stop the clock. There wasn't going to be the okie-dokie he did earlier, you know. But regardless, I'm not blaming Levante David. That's a tough play, right? It's not a play you want to see happen again. I think that the Coach Cox did a good job on the sideline talking to him, you know. Go watch the tape again. I just got done watching it 2 more times. He was clearly running out of bounds. He was in mid-stride. The stride would have carried him out of bounds. David just had to escort him out. I would love to say it's easy to just blame that play. It's not. Did that play suck? Yes. If that's a running back, does that play get called? Maybe. It's in New York, right? You're going to get some hometown officiating, too. But it should never have come to that. Someone else in the chat room earlier said that. There's no way that this game should have come to that. We had way too many options, right? The defense gave us some three and outs. We had great field position. We could not get some points on the board. What, were we 38% on third down? That is the money down. I think we were 38%. Yep, 38%. Six conversions on third down. It's terrible. Yeah, and if Spence correct, there is an exception to the skull and sword rule. You can use the entire staff if it's particularly egregious. Cali Bucks in the house. Skull going to go to Sullivan. Sword's going to go to Goldson for putting on the oomph back in the Bucks defense. P.S. Please ask why people are so high on LJ. They pick on him constantly. He hasn't looked good at all. You know, I thought Leonard looked fine in preseason. He definitely got victimized a little bit this week, but I think he's a hell of a ball player. I don't think there's a problem with him personally. I know he did it before Calico. That doesn't mean that he could have done it on that play. I mean, on the one before, he wasn't in mid-stride going out of bounds. I agree. I understand the rationale. That's why I'm not saying Levante David should be kicked in the mouth for it. Like, I get it. So, how can Free get a skull? Vincent had 150-something yards with a bad offensive line. Interesting question. A sword to David and a skull for David. I like it. Are you self-promoting over there, Fred? Hooker? Average distance the Bucks face on third down on Sunday. Scott, Buckshot Sounds. I want to contribute to the tailgate this year. What address can I send the paper? Hey, Scott, I'll hit you up after the show, okay? Appreciate that. Average distance Bucks face on third down Sunday, 10.75 yards. Holy shit. That's great data. So, you go from first and 10 to third and 10.75. Are you shitting me? That's brutal. That's absolutely fucking brutal. We actually have quite a significant delay, it would appear, in the live broadcast. For those of you who are not in the live broadcast, it's surprising, to be honest, because that hasn't been the case lately. But I don't agree with the chat room right now that's saying that LJ should have gotten a skull. I think he played well. Some poorly timed penalties. And even after a description, even after the explanation, my man Animal breaks the rule. You can't call out the whole defense. It's one. God, I love you guys, but it hurts sometimes. It really hurts. LJ is EJ Biggers part two. Come on, make the block hop. You're better than that. All right. What did I put down for skulls and swords? I went with the skull for Shiano because he's the head guy, and I went with Deshaun Goldson. I'll tell you what. Deshaun Goldson is every single thing that was advertised. Every single thing that was advertised, Deshaun Goldson is. This guy is an absolute beast. Absolute monster. Skip, are you serious? So Skip Brown in the chat room says someone should have been fired over that debacle. This is the reactionary nature that I think that football fans have gotten to right now. And Skip is a really smart guy. I mean, that's not kissing ass or anything like that. I've had the opportunity to talk to Skip on many, many occasions. Right? But really? Go out and just fire someone over this game? First game of the season? Does that really make sense? I mean, I know you're mad and emotional and all that, but damn. I don't get that. I mean, there should be some serious conversations happening. And we should see a different team come out and play New Orleans. We better damn well see a different team come out and play New Orleans. It's more than likely going to be blacked out, I would guess. Which will piss everyone off more. I think that if I were running marketing for the Bucks and I were the Glazers, I would buy the seats publicly. I would donate them to military people, boys club, girls club, whoever. Doesn't matter. I would fill that damn stadium. And if that means getting fined by the NFL, then so be it. But I would fill that stadium. Because they need to win this fan base back. They really do. They really, really do. Kurt, again, I've used mutually exclusive a lot tonight, but for some reason, this is a mystery to some folks. Yes, he's supposed to score points for us, right? Like the pass he threw to Mike Williams. But he's also supposed to be smart, and kicking the ball in the back of the end zone made it a safety instead of a touchdown. That was smart. I get it, you're mad at him, but that doesn't mean you have to take everything away from him. Fire the kicker's wife. I love it. Sons of Anarchy is coming on in 5 minutes. That's our gating factor. You know, I was going to talk some about the Saints, but I really just don't feel that comfortable talking about the Saints because I didn't watch their game yet. So what I may do is do a YouTube video and put that up this week because, to be honest, I'm exhausted, guys. I'm depressed. And I don't know that I can make up stuff about the Saints. I want to go watch the game against Atlanta, and then I'll do something this week. Now, a reminder, we'll wrap this thing up at 10 o'clock. I hope we don't go 0-4. I hope so, too. I hope we don't go 0-2. I hope we don't go 0-2. I hope we go 1-1. That's my hope. I would hope that's everyone's hope here. We will be at the One Voice event at the Ritz in Ybor, 8 o'clock. The tailgate this week is going to be huge. If you want to participate, get out there early. 11 o'clock is when it's going to jump off. If you're going to help us set up, get out there earlier. I think we'll probably be out there probably about 7:30, 8 o'clock. If you want to participate, let us know. Drop us a note on Facebook or drop us a note to questions at whatthebuck.net. We can always use extra hands. I want to give you guys a little bit of a feeler for how this goes down. We have a core group of about 11 people who typically are getting in there early and setting all of the things up that you guys enjoy, and then staying late and tearing them all down. It is a non-trivial task. I cannot say loudly enough how amazing this group of people are. And it's not just the core 11 that are part of what we call the tailgating crew, who kind of hold each other responsible and accountable to make sure that they're there. And not everyone can do everything. Some people have to come later. Some people have to leave earlier. But they do. This group that we're a part of does an amazing job of picking up slack for folks when they need to, and doing extra when they have to. Now, if you want to get out there early, please do. If you want to participate, you can always give cash donations in the treasure chest. We're going to have raffles going crazy. I need to find out or remember who is the beneficiary this week. This is for One Voice Foundation, which makes sense. So the One Voice Foundation that we're doing the thing Thursday for, they are the benefactor of all of the proceeds from the raffles, both the prizes and the 50-50. So, you know, if you want to get out there and participate, that'd be terrific. We're going to be out there for a long-ass time, guys. Hydrate. If you want to bring stuff to contribute, you can. If you want to cook some stuff, you can do that too. And Buck You Up thinks that the cup is the trick. I will do that. I will definitely do that. And I will get the pink cup back, Buck You Up. I will go get the pink cup, and I'll use it in a YouTube this week. Am I crazy saying this? The week 4 game against the Cards is now a must-win? I hate must-win discussion. It's bullshit. It's too early. But I think that the play effort is there, and that's what I usually end up bitching about. So, this is Pediatric Cancer Month. Again, we will be live at the Ritz, 8 o'clock. If you guys want to come out, I think tickets are $50, Cheryl. The raffle items are amazing. I think this week we've got is it a Revis jersey? Cheryl, I can't remember. We'll put it on the website. We'll put an article out there. So if you want to try and win those things, get your money in there. We're going to be doing some creative things with the Wing House Girls to get you a chance to get more raffle tickets as well. Jaden will be there. We'll be live. Drinks galore. Big shout out to our sponsors, Wing House, Whiskey Willie's, Buccaneer Beads, Anywhere Transport, Ybor City Chiropractic, Black Ops Flavor, and Steakhouse Elite. All of those folks have been making this stuff happen. We will see you guys out there. I will put this podcast up directly after the conclusion of the show. And I appreciate you guys coming out. This is a hell of a rant. I hope people feel a little bit better. I hope people get a little bit of a center in what they're doing, because it is ugly. It is absolutely ugly in Tampa Bay radio land. So hopefully things will get better. Anyway, thanks from the What the Buck crew to you guys. Thanks for Spent and Reno and Kirk Buckshot Creel and Captain Bones and Nuts and Sizzle, the whole crew. And I try and name a bunch of them every time. I always leave people out. If you don't know who the hell these people are, you need to start making more friends in the chat room. If you listen on the podcast, thank you very much. Please rate us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at What the Buck. Facebook.com/What the Buck. We're out there. We don't do Instagram. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just too lazy to do it. So, anyway, we will be back next week. There will be some YouTube stuff going on. There will be some articles posted. But really, we are focused on One Voice Thursday and then the tailgate on Sunday. And hopefully on whipping some Saints' ass, Deshaun Goldson breaking those receivers in half, and getting the job done, getting us to one-on-one, and getting some happiness in Buckland. For that, with that, I am going to get up out of here and get some sleep.
Work, 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 work. Hello, boys. Have a good night's rest. I miss you.
Thanks for tuning in to What the Buck, brought to you live by whatthebuck.net and the Moohead Radio Network. Make sure you register at www.whatthebuck.net and subscribe to us on YouTube at www.youtube.com/user/whatthebuck. To receive news about the show and overall Bucks news in general. Until next time, keep emailing your questions to questions@whatthebuck.net, and most of all, keep supporting your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On behalf of Old School, the Doc, and the rest of the What the Buck crew, this is Big Pie Zahn saying goodnight, and see you next time. And most of all, go.